The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
The Bible says that thy word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, thy word. And the Bible, we claim, according to God's holy scriptures and in agreement with the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ, that all scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired. It is for our teaching, correction, and training in righteousness that the man of God may be complete. But sometimes, those of us that read the Bible all the time, it can just seem like words on a page. It kind of loses its force and meaning in our life personally, in the day-to-day drama we live in, wherever your life is going. That's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to know the author of the book. You have such a privilege to be able to read a book and also talk to the author while he's speaking in the Word of God. Illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show us the meaning of God's Word and how it applies to our life. It's more than just words on a page. It is more than just directives. It can be much more precise than that. The Bible is filled with examples of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding men and women in incredibly difficult situations and saying, this is the way, walk in it. Go in this direction. Turn to the right, turn to the left, go to this city, go to that city. When we talk about being a Christian, we are not talking about being religionists, following a strict ethical code. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which leads to beauty, to honor, to integrity, and one of my favorite words lately, nobility. It leads to Christ-likeness, and it happens through relationship. And even when we're reading this book, we need to trust that He is going to illuminate what He said in here. This is part of my life story. You've heard this for some of you for 40 years, but the fact of the matter is the only reason this church exists today is because the Holy Spirit illuminated a passage of Scripture one day when I didn't quite know what to do. I was seeking the Lord as to His will for my wife and my family's life and the kingdom of God. And He told us basically in a certain passage, go across a distance, form a church there, do this. This is what I'm calling you to do. I went to my boss. I asked him if it was okay, if I could have his blessing and my elder's blessing in doing that. They gave me that. One of them is still here, perhaps not this morning, Phil Rogers. On Fridays, I meet with Steve Evans. I went to the funeral of my boss's son recently because we had deep and abiding relationships. But the bottom line was, first of all, I saw a passage illuminated as I was praying, and it seemed to speak distinctly about a movement to another place and the beginning of a work. And inside it said the leadership from my former place, from the temple, from Jerusalem, would come and see the work that was being done here and bless it and essentially thank God for it. Blessed to the degree that they go here. Blessed to the degree that one of them said, we never should have let, there was a great kindness, you've heard this before, never should have let you go from the former church. They didn't let me go. It wasn't like there was an offer out there pending. But I already had an offer because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that He wanted this place and He wanted you to be here in some mysterious way. When the Counselor comes, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the Word. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth, John 14, 17. The Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. This speaks of intimacy, what is mine, the deep parts of the Lord Jesus' life He wants to impart to His children. I ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you His Spirit. The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. He will make you wise. Now the Spirit, and some say, the Spirit by itself needs to be informed by the Word. We know that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. And anyone that comes to you and says, I believe the Lord is saying this to you, it must inevitably parallel with and walk in lockstep with the teaching of Holy Writ. If it doesn't, you thank them for their kindness in loving you, but you step away from what they said until the Holy Spirit speaks to you personally that word, and you see some kind of paralleling in God's holy word. The Bible says this, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What happens when God opens my eyes? Well, you just saw a flashlight. It wasn't working that well. It didn't have much power. At Christmas time, a lot of children get presents, and it says batteries not included. And that's what it's like to read the Bible sometimes. It's as if the light isn't on. It's as if your yellow highlighter hasn't pointed out certain passages and parts that are just for you. But the yellow highlighter of the eyes of the heart, this strange conjunction of words that is here in the Scripture, is the Holy Spirit. And he wants to outline things for you. I'll give you an example. When I came to Christ, I was at a college. I'm in a room, small group of people there. And they're praying, and I was a very lost man, beyond lost. I resisted going to any Christian meeting. I was an evangelical atheist, meaning I was not an evangelical. I would preach the gospel of love is God, not God is love. And it was so filled with sanctimonious baloney philosophically, it was hard to believe. But that's what I would state so as to be better than these ridiculously ignorant Christians. And I'm there in a room, and a man who had basically come out of a country church got up, and some common people in motel rooms, etc., and they talked about Jesus Christ and the difference he had made in their life. And one boy who was valedictorian Fort Hunt High School, who's heading off to Harvard for his grad school, said, I got to the end of the valedictory thing, and it was empty. It was empty. But Christ has changed my life, filled me with meaning and purpose. I'm listening to this. I'm being respectful. I turned down my friends many times to go to these kind of meetings, but that time I went. I don't even know why. I think it was the draw of the Holy Spirit. And I'm there, and they have a moment when they ask people to pray. And in my mind's eye, and I think those of you who have been here a long time, you've heard me say this, that what was a brick wall of unbelief and intellectual doubt became a thin gossamer curtain. Now, the interesting thing here is to say the word curtain, because the Bible speaks the Word of God, and its meaning is revealed in this. I didn't know anything about a curtain or the temple or the Holy of Holies, where a high priest would go once a year to do things, and there was a thick curtain keeping the unholy out of the place of holiness. I had built it with my own hands in my own heart, and in my mind, this thing became, rather than a wall separating me from God, it became a thin gossamer curtain, and I saw that by an act of my will, I could step through a curtain. I didn't know the theological implications. All I knew was that there was a draw in that room from something beyond myself. I didn't think about it that much, but I had never been close to this moment. I never saw that by an act of my will, I could choose to believe without answering my endless questions about things ultimately in this life I will never have the answers for. At some point in that evening, I stepped through the thin curtain, and the Holy Spirit put love in my heart that had not been there. Seeing what God wants me to see, he wanted me to see that he's just this near. He wants us to see in his word, inspired by his spirit, number one, I see the solution. I think it's in your folder. What happens when God opens my eyes? I see the solution to my problem. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Now I'm going to go rapidly over this. I don't intend to enlarge on these passages. They're going to have to be quick hits. Some of you won't understand all this, but you'll get the general idea. There was a guy whose name was Abraham. God promised him a son. He was late stage. He was so old. He was older than dirt, as was his wife. God spoke to him through his unique abilities and says, you're going to have a child and I'm going to bring a mighty nation out of you. His wife laughs. She thinks this is a joke, even though it is brought to her in a powerful way. And what happens is she begins to formulate, how are we going to make this happen? And so she says, why don't you interface with my handmaiden and see what happens? And so Abraham did this, and a baby comes out. That baby became the head of the Arab people. But Abraham didn't know that would happen. He said, thank God, the promised baby is here. And the Lord spoke to him. Abraham was a prophet and said, that's not the one. I will bless that one, but that's not the one. But he did give him a child. And it was a child that was so precious and so amazing that God brought it out of, what, a 100-year-old woman brought this boy out. But mom thought that Ishmael, her first child, would somehow inherit her son's inheritance. And so she casts out the handmaiden and puts her in a desert. And the mom is there, having been utterly rejected, hitting a stopping point in her life, not knowing what to do, where to go. Maybe some of you are in that place. There are things in your life that are so overwhelming, you don't know what to do. Do I take this job? Do I not take this job? How do I escape this lawsuit I'm dealing with? Or this legal action, or whatever your thing is. You need the eyes of your heart open to the real situation spiritually. And what happens in this moment is Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, begins to weep, and God sees her tears and in essence tells her. It says here in the scripture, she opened her eyes. God opens her eyes. He gives her illumination and she can see a fountain of water. Water to keep her and her son alive. And ultimately, a nation comes out of this union after the Holy Spirit opens her eyes to see his grace and power. Where do you need your eyes opened? Perhaps it's a professional thing where you see a barrier to your progress. You don't know how to get through it. It says in another story in the scripture, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord. Balaam was asked by an evil king to curse Israel. Israel had come into the promised land. I believe it was the Amalekites were against him. The king tries to recruit him to curse the Israelites because he knows Balaam is a child of God, a son of Yahweh, the great God. And he, whatever he says comes to pass because he has a union with the Lord. And tragically, Balaam wants to make some money and he goes against his own people and everything he believes to go and use his prophetic gift against the Israelite people. And he's riding on a donkey. The donkey stops. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord. In some spiritual sense, it's a wild and bizarre story, but we live in a wild and bizarre reality. And he sees the angel of the Lord saying, you're not going any further than this. The prophet can't see it, but the donkey sees it. And so the prophet starts beating the donkey. You know, sometimes life gets so tough. And our goals are blocked to such a degree that we start getting angry and mean to those around us. Maybe it's our wife. Maybe it's our kids. God would spare us that. Balaam goes off to the side of the road with the donkey, beats him, comes back. Finally, they go through a narrow area. The donkey sees this thing. It's not apparition, this reality, spiritual reality in front of him. And he moves to the side and crushes Balaam's foot against a barrier. When we miss the Lord, when we do what we want to do rather than what he commands us to do or teaches us to do, we always experience pain. Always. There is such a thing as spiritual gravity. What goes up, well, I might say what goes down won't necessarily go up. Where are you having a blockage in your life? Where are things seeming to be cut off and you don't know what to do? How do I get out of this one? Where do I go next, Lord? Where is it that the whole society, the finances of my life are blocked? And you keep pressing forward, not knowing that it is the very hand of God stopping you. I remember I had a crush on a young lady. Yeah, she was just super cute. And great girl, you know, a lot of things going for, except some spiritual things we were on the same. It was only probably Christianity that stood between us and getting married, you know? And I pursued her, but whenever I tried to get together with her, there was a block and a block and a block and a block and a block. And I saw some issues in her that I knew weren't right, but I pressed on. It's as if the Lord's angel was there with the sword blocking my way. Have you considered, based on the inspiration of Scripture and the illumination of this moment, that some things you're going for aren't the right things to be going for? In essence, I came to the place where I cut off the relationship with this young woman. I remember feeling bummed and depressed about it for about 15 minutes because I was a Christian and because Jesus comes alongside you when you make a good decision. And he goes, that's my boy, that's the right thing, that's my girl, good job. Because ultimately we have to be wed to him. And so, as it turned out, the next person in line, what God really wanted for me was the young lady who bore my 9 children and loved the Lord Jesus. We were in sync. Sometimes there is a blockage, the Scripture teaches, and you don't want to try to break through it. God is trying to protect you. A friend of mine had a great job. It was being offered him. It gave him a great title. He fought to get the job. He manipulated. He politicked. He did everything he could. He was a Christian. Block, 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 block. And he lost the job. And his self-esteem plummeted. The only problem was with the fantasy and the sorrows of his imagination was God had something much better for him. That's why he blocked the job out. He immediately heard that there was a much more fit, appropriate, financially secure job than the one he was being offered. Have you ever put your head and tried to beat it against the wall and then been very angry at God for not obeying your imperious will? It's a good way just to hurt and be sad. 3, I see the defense for what's attacking me when I study the Word of God. Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw all the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Long story short, Elijah the prophet is being attacked by a king. The king has an army. The king is scared of the Israelites. All of his plans are being given away because the prophet has been speaking his plans to the Israelites because God showed Elijah the truth. So the king brings his army in and is about to capture Elijah and his servant Gehazi. And Elijah's kind of cool and calm about things. See, this is his defense because the Lord had inspired him to know this. And Gehazi is freaking out. The whole army's coming. We're dead. They torture you. They do strange things to you. This is horrible. And in essence, the prophet says, God opened his eyes. You'll remember the story. And he sees angelic beings and chariots of fire and everything. There are more entities, spiritual entities, at work for that man to defend him than those in opposition. And the end of this story is they win, 2 men, against a gigantic army. How? Because God opened their eyes to see around them. Now, you'll remember this is written, these ideas to some degree come from, and anything bad is mine, anything good is his, Dr. Rick Warren. You know that he lost a son to suicide. What did he do with that? He He has entrusted himself to the God that is beyond this life and dwells in heavenly places, in another dimension, and has the situation well in hand. To survive this life, and not only survive it, to prosper in it, we need, number four, to see God walking with us. When Jesus Christ was crucified and killed and buried, everyone was depressed. We've heard the story of thousands coming apart, grieving, running from him. Everything seemed to come apart. Has your life come apart in some way? Is it all coming apart? Is it hopeless? Is it impossible to go on? Read the word. You'll remember what happened. Two guys are going down a road on the road to Emmaus. They're trying to escape Jerusalem. Jerusalem's become a nightmare. But they have heard of a resurrected Jesus. They just had begun to hear of it. And someone's walking with them and begins to talk to them. And talks about how the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, and the appearance of the Lord Jesus is happening. The Law and the Prophets speak that he is going to die, be buried for 3 days, and then rise again, and it's happened. And they see their hearts are strangely warmed by the interaction with this guy. And you'll remember what happens. They go somewhere with him, and in a moment, at some moment, the God who has hidden himself from them, and sometimes life feels like he's hiding. Don't you see my pain? Don't you see my agony? Do you not see my mental distress? He opens their eyes, and they see this man walking with them is Jesus Christ himself. Do you know what's said or supposed, or the understanding is something within 20 years of Jesus' death, there were 100,000 Christians in and around the Judea area. 100,000. Do you know how that happened? Well, our scholars surmise that it was because people who were utterly and deeply moved on by the Holy Spirit and had seen 500 people in one case, the resurrected Lord Jesus, went out into the highways and byways and compelled people to come in. And they told their story in such a compelling way because their eyes had been opened, because they were illuminated, that they changed their world. They saw God walking with them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, Jesus, and he disappeared from their sight. Jesus is here this morning. I see some of you, I know what you've been through, you talk to me, you love me enough to trust me with your stuff, and it looked very desperate for your family. And I see some of you not only survived, you've thrived. It seemed just deadly what you were going through. And he met you on the road, and he revealed himself to you. He reveals himself as we read his holy word. He reveals himself in his holy word. Do you put questions to it when you read it? Not only in his holy, in your heart. Do you get impressions? Sometimes I'm burdened, and normally I'm burdened for a significant period of time before I act on that burden or that idea or that proposition that just keeps coming to me because I'm a child of God. And I test it. Is that you, Lord? Is that just me? Is it something someone said? What's going on? And yet normally, at the right time, when we act on the right spirit-led, illuminated, squaring with the Word of God, statement, idea, concept, good things, great things happen. I remember one man. I'm going to disguise this. His marriage was falling apart. It was a personal nightmare. And he was alone with the Lord. And he was seeking him. And basically, God brought to his heart and mind a scripture. And the scripture basically said, you can't escape the situation you're in. It is not your doing, it is your partner's. Jesus knew that. That happens sometimes. And this man submitted, bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus, and let go and let God. The ending of the story, without going into it, and I've seen it many times, was joy and peace and goodness and wonder, because those who saw from an invisible position and saw the grace of God in giving free will to men to do right or do wrong still had an action plan for that rejected individual that was glorious, that was amazing grace. Are you in a tough time now, an unbelievably tough time now? See God walking with you. And to know what the Spirit is saying, not what your five senses are saying, what a spiritual world is trying to communicate with you, begin a relationship with Jesus if you haven't. The Bible says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, as they were to me as an unbeliever. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There are deep things in the Lord, but they're also shallow. They're long, low-hanging fruit, but they're incredibly deep. Go here. Do this. Take this job. He will wander you into a room. Just so happens on a certain day where the general in your organization just happens to be there, and you get to be the neck that turns the head of the king. You get to have influence beyond your wildest dreams, and you bring a prophetic notion to this individual. This happens. It's happened to me. I wander into a room one day, and I'm sitting next to the Archbishop of Canterbury. Who am I? I'm the low man on the totem pole in the room. It was somewhere over at the White House for some goofy meeting. And I got to exchange with him about family and about love. And I'll tell you, that guy's an evangelical, loved the Lord, and we were in sync. In sync. How did that happen? Jesus Christ illuminated my mind to go on a certain day to a certain event. I just walk in the room and he's there. Two, ask God to, in faith, to open your eyes. Open your eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. When you're reading the word, God, are you saying something to me today? I'm told that Andy Stanley, he reads until he gets something from the Lord, or he feels he does. I don't know about all that. What I do know is he loves to speak to you in the quiet place and in the busy marketplace. But he wants to speak to you and talk to you. And many times he's saying, be at peace. I've got this under control. Ask God in faith to open your eyes that you may behold wonderful things. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. This is the word of God. This is called a relationship. I'm almost at the end. It's a relationship, and it's deep, and it's spiritual, and it's otherworldly in the best sense. This is not some kind of occultism. It is a friendship. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends, and friends have chats and illuminate things for them. Come with a humble attitude. Oh, I know everything. That's not possible. He couldn't speak to my heart. Yes, he can, and he will. He's longing to talk to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't be proud. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Cleanse your heart of all sin and conflict. A day hardly goes by where I don't have some sin to confess. You'll remember Space Pets from last week. Won't go into that. A sin to confess is the first one. None of us are perfect. None of us. But he empowers us to be more than we can be. He empowers us to be like his son. And there is a clicking and a ratcheting your whole life. I've lived a long time now. He is going to bring you from glory to glory. He is going to chastise you because he loves you. And he's going to click you up a scale. And when you're down and feeling low, as the song goes, and want to talk to him, but you have a wall of sinful and selfish and ridiculous behavior, and you know he probably doesn't want to talk to you, and you've looked at things and done things and corrupted things in your life, but you confess to him, you agree with him, he's right, you're wrong, please forgive me, have mercy on me. Just like taking a wondrous shower every day, he cleanses you, and it doesn't seem fair from all unrighteousness. He wants you to be pure, but he knows you're not perfect. And I've told you before, every high priest chosen from among men is beset with weakness so that he can be gentle with the wayward. Lastly, make things right, commit in advance. Let me say this before I do this, and we'll conclude. Make things right with other people. If there's someone you're offended, if there's someone you're holding a grudge against, when you hold a grudge, you're not holding the grudge. The grudge is holding you. And Jesus doesn't want you to be a slave of an opportunistic germ that wants to throttle you. And the way you free yourself from that is by humbling yourself and saying, I'm sorry. You want to... Melanie and I were with a woman recently. She had had some horrible things happen in her life. But if the man who had hurt her would just say he was sorry, with tears in his heart, they would be reconciled. I know it. We felt it. We knew it. Is that person in your life? I won't go over the mechanics of how to do this, but oftentimes, maybe a phone call, maybe a face-to-face talk. But make things right with people. You don't hold grudges. They hold you. Lastly, commit in advance to do what God says. You're there in the Word of God. And He says to you, you're reading the Word, and it says, you must decrease, and He will increase. You know the Scripture. You know it better than I do. The idea is that you hear that. He must increase, John the Baptist said, and I must decrease, about his ministry, about his whole life in service to Jesus, who was being raised up in that hour. That was a personal word because he was led by the Holy Spirit to say it. And it still is to us, words like that. Sometimes that sentence applies directly to your life at that moment. That's why we should hunger for his word and hunger for relationship. And listen, oh listen, to his voice. And when he speaks to you, do what he says. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, you want us to find the solutions to our problems, see the barriers to our progress, see the defense for what's attacking us, see you walking with us. And Lord, there are some here who need to begin a relationship with your son, Jesus. We need our eyes open to have truth illuminated to us. Help us to be humble and listen. Cleanse our heart from sin and conflict. We commit in advance. If you say it, Lord, God, give us the strength to do it. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.